We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Now, I got Horowitz. Big Ben is doing double duty the last couple of weeks, so he's producing the final 2 hours. And we got a rookie just called up to the big leagues. He was working up in Albany as an overnight radio station janitor, and he got the call to co-produce the Saturday Night Huge Show, Matt Essig. And he jumped right in, because normally I make it a minimum 2 weeks. That would be minimum if you're keeping track of that word I tried to say. Minimum 2 weeks before a new producer is allowed to talk to me, because I trust Horowitz. I worked with him for years, and Graceffo and Hickey Moriello, and Essig jumped right in and said, you know what, I'm here to do a good job. So the maiden voyage. As Horowitz said, we get a new producer back at the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. How about that story? It's like Kurt Warner bagging groceries in Iowa. Next thing you know, he's in a Super Bowl. This Matt Essig was an overnight radio station janitor, and he loves radio, and he got the call up today to the big leagues to co-produce a Saturday Night Huge Show. Horowitz, call Disney. Call CBS TV. We have a script. This kid's talented. I think he's going to be the next Mike Francesa. What do you think, Horowitz? Agree or disagree?
I think it's probably a little too early to say that, Bill. I wish I could exude your confidence. I'm just hoping he doesn't blow the show up, blow the board up. As long as the building's still standing when we leave here tonight, I'll view that as a success.
My first thought was when he just jumped right in, we're kind of talking about the show catching up, and I don't know him, and I look forward to getting to know him, but he jumps right in. And my first thought was, who gave this guy permission to talk to me? All right. In my contract, and I can read it here. 1 second. Here it is. In my contract, line 3, no producer with at least a minimum of 6 years experience will be allowed to talk to me unless I talk to them first.
I got nervous just because he did it. I was like, now I'm going to get yelled at by Bill because I know better. I shouldn't have allowed it to happen.
He kind of had like a Josh Groban interview voice.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, he kind of had that, you know, I'm guessing, I don't know him, never met him, that he's probably like 6'3", lanky guy, and he sings You Raise Me Up throughout the hallways at CBS all the time. So that would be good. We got, is it Essig? Is it Essink? Is it? Well, how do you say his name?
Essig.
Essig?
Essig.
Essig. So like Essig?
I thought it was Essig, truthfully, until about 5 minutes ago. I got to be honest.
He thought it was a memo from CBS going, you know what? There's no Essigs in the studios.
Exactly.
I don't need the cherry smoke, okay? And by the way, you're going to get popcorn lungs. I'm gonna be the old father-like figure doing a sports radio show, which, by the way, Horowitz and Essig are aboard here for the final 2 hours. I want to bring you up to date on huge opinions you can deliver. I'm just tired of all the whining in the NBA. I really am. Westbrook, George, the press conference, LeBron all season long. I want your starting five non-whiners who just ball and treat everything about what they do with respect in today's game. Not all time, in today's NBA. So I need your non-whining five. Second thing, the Kate Smith, God bless America, being just banished by the Yankees was bad enough. Then the Flyers. Then the Flyers took it a step further, and they covered her statue, which goes back to the 70s, about atmosphere at a stadium, right? They covered it up with a black tarp, and they roped it up. It looks like they're taking it hostage. And I'm like, wait a minute. This was about Kate Smith, who's been dead for like 30-plus years, in reference to complaints about some racially charged songs she sung back in the 1930s. Which, by the way, the Yankees and Major League Baseball didn't allow people of color to even be a part of their organizations at the major league level. there was a separate baseball league called the Negro Leagues. Yeah. But Kate Smith, in songs, not actions, songs that also were sung by singers who were black. That is the reason why her rendition of God Bless America was pulled by the Yankees, the Flyers, and the Flyers covered up a statue. I think the Flyers introduced their first African-American black player in the 70s. But we're not going to hold the Flyers accountable for, or hockey, for being racist, or we're not going to hold the Yankees accountable for being racist. And by the way, they didn't bring a black player to the big leagues with a Yankees uniform until, what, 8 years after Jackie Robinson? 8 years. Are we holding the Yankees accountable for what they did in the 30s, 40s, early 50s? Are we? Are we holding the Flyers accountable for what they did 40 years after Kate Smith sang the two songs, which, again, I don't condone the words of that, but they were show tunes, it seems like. Are we holding anybody else accountable? No. That's why God needs to bless America. So I'm taking your feedback on that. And then the NFL draft will begin on Thursday night. Kyler Murray, I believe, will be the biggest star of that draft, and he will be the number one pick. I'll give you my biggest flop before the end of this hour. That's another question that you can answer. Who will be the biggest star from the 2019 NFL draft? And this is before everyone's taken. And a lot of that has to do where you fall, what team, the opportunity. And who will be the biggest flop? And that usually is a first rounder. Biggest star isn't always a first rounder. So feel free to deliver your huge opinions to North America at 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter, Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. And let's go to TJ in Massachusetts. Thanks for the wait, and you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me. Top five, I would start at the point guard position. You have Damian Lillard, which there was a previous caller who made a really good case for him. Klay Thompson, I feel, is a good one for shooting guard. For your two forwards, I like Paul George and Middleton, and I like Al Horford. I'm a Celtics fan, so I like Al Horford for the center.
All right, well, thank you, TJ, in Massachusetts. And what's been pretty cool about this conversation around everything else we've discussed, that there are so many good guys in the NBA compared to the whiners. And I think because LeBron James has been whining all year with the Lakers, that there's a misnomer that the league is just full of a bunch of guys who whine. I think there are a fair number. But arguably, you know, Harden doesn't say a lot. He just, you know, will shoot a lot. But Westbrook and what George did with the media was so bush league, and what LeBron has done on the court, off the court. I love Milwaukee. I love the G-Man. I think no one's going to beat them in a series. You can join us live, 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. Let's go to David in Cleveland, listening on 92.3 FM. You're on the Saturday Night Huge Show.
How you doing, Steve?
Hey, David.
Okay. I would go with Kyrie, Durant, LeBron, Westbrook, and George, top five. I guess my question to you is, now that the Yankees and the Flyers have been made aware of Kate Smith's song, what would you suggest that they do about the statue?
Well, I won't cover it, and I might look at the situation and say, okay, it's the 1930s, and David, thanks for the call. I appreciate it in Cleveland. And I might look at where we were in the 30s, and I would not, I don't think people knew who sung the songs. And there's no way I would give in to that. No way. And cover a statue? No. Like, if we're going to hold Kate Smith accountable, David, and I get where you're coming from in Cleveland, that someone needs to be held accountable for racist songs in the 1930s, okay, then are we going to hold the Yankees accountable for not allowing black players to play until 20-something years after her racist show tunes? Are we going to hold the Flyers accountable that a black player wasn't on their team till the 70s? Are we? No, we're just going to cover the statue of Kate Smith, take the songs away, release statements, and talk about, oh my God, she's basically a racist. Oh, forget that she raised $600 million in the 30s and 40s for the war effort. And I read this from a tweet from Clay Travis. $600 million, which in today's money would be $11 billion to fight the evil empire of Hitler. All right. You know, baseball can run scot-free. People can say what they want to and just hammer someone else, make them a target. And was she wrong? There were black singers who also sung the songs. Did Little Rascals cross the line? Did Archie Bunker cross the line? Did some music cross the line today? I mean, we could dissect everything. If we're going to hold Kate Smith accountable, then we should hold baseball accountable. Well, what price have they paid for what they did in the 30s? But Kate Smith's legacy pays a price with the Yankees and the Flyers. Let's go to Bill in Florida. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hello.
How you doing, Bill?
Fine, thank you.
What's going on?
Bill, if we go back to after the death of Kate Smith, I think it came up a few years afterwards that she was half black.
I didn't know that.
I think you have to do some research on that. She was also in the 30s a backer of the Boston Yanks football team in Boston with her manager, Ted Collins. The team lasted for a couple of years in Boston and then went to New York. It never would have gone in Boston with the name Yanks, but that was the name of it. But I think if you do some research on this, I think you're going to find out that Kate Smith was half black.
All right, well, thank you, Bill, in Florida. Appreciate the call. Appreciate you listening on this Saturday night. Let's go to Mike in Pennsylvania. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Bill. Hey. Long time listener, long time caller.
Awesome.
Hey, listen, it is absolutely absurd about Kate Smith. I just feel so bad for her relatives and the people who loved Kate. It may be a generation or two back, but this is absurd. You know, if you want to, people walk around, you could be offended by 100 different things in the course of a day. If you want to be offended, you can be offended. I mean, I'm half Polish and half Italian, and I listen to all the Polak jokes, and I listen to all the things through my history of being alive, and I find them comical. You know, if you want to sit there and be really take this to heart, it's just as you said, it's not fair. You can't just hold Kate Smith accountable for two songs when all of these professional leagues were anti-black for so long.
That's my point. You know, my point isn't condoning what Kate Smith did, but if you're going to go all the way back to the 30s as a reason why you're going to remove God Bless America sung by Kate Smith from Yankees games and Philly Flyer games, then you better look in the mirror and hold yourself accountable for how slow your sport and your franchise was in breaking the color barrier.
Amen.
And to me, and thanks for the call, Michael, in Pennsylvania. I got to get to a timeout, but so what hurts a person of color more? That a business would not allow you to succeed because of the color of your skin or a couple of show tunes sung in the 30s? That's an easy answer for all of you listening. You want to join us live? 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook.
Huge is America's voice on sports. This is the Saturday Night Huge Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Horowitz and Essig are back at CBS Sports Radio, New York City. John Fast will have another update here in just about 6 minutes. Huge questions of the night. Who's on your all non-whining starting five in the NBA, any position? Guys who just ball and respect the media and fans and the sport. Kate Smith, God Bless America, being removed because of show tunes she sang back in the 30s, the 1930s, by the Yankees and the Flyers, and that statue being covered in Philly. You agree or disagree with that? And then with the NFL draft, first round on Thursday night in Nashville, who will be the biggest star and have the greatest career in the National Football League? From all the names called on stage, and who will be the biggest flop? And that usually is reserved for the first round. You can join us at 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter, Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. Ton of tweets coming in tonight. I'll read some more momentarily. First, let's go to Malcolm in San Francisco, California, here on the Saturday Night Huge Show.
Well, thanks a lot, and I'll tell you what. George Steinbrenner is not rolling in his grave when his children pulled this stunt. I don't know what he would do, but let's remember this. George Steinbrenner was a felon, and he went to jail, and he was suspended from being president and owner of the Yankees for a period of time. What'd they do about that? They kept the Steinbrenner's ownership going, and they're going to do this to Kate Smith. And Philadelphia, they go 26-2 when they play God Bless America by Kate Smith. She shows up for the championship back in the 70s. Both times they win. And those fans, you don't think that they're upset about this? This is revisionism at its best. And I guarantee you, Al Sharpton's fingerprints are not far from this.
Thank you so much, Malcolm, out in San Francisco, listening on KNBR. Blake in Calgary, Alberta, north of the border. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Bill, God bless you for bringing this whole issue to light. What a great show tonight, and I've never called into your show. I'll tell you this. My mother worked for the Canadian National Defense, Department of National Defense for 34 years until her career came short. But nonetheless, when the Bruins were getting whooped in 74, my hero Bobby Orr was getting bullied by the Broad Street Bullies. Kate Smith, this bespectacled, heavy-set lady, waltzes out onto the ice, sings God Bless America, and I was heartbroken. I'm like, oh, man, the Flyers are trampling my team. My mother reminded me of what a legend she was, and it had to do with the strong American military traditions. And I'm telling you, if how is it that these owners and the like lose track of what that represents? That really bothers me. You really touched a nerve tonight, and I appreciate this coming to light, because I'm telling you, as much as it broke my heart as a 7-year-old kid, man, covering up a statue of a legend?
Mm.
Absurd.
Yeah, we should cover up all the statues in baseball for anybody that played before the color barrier was broken by every Major League Baseball franchise, right?
And if you don't mind me just adding a little something, the Calgary Flames were eliminated from the NHL playoffs. The best player in team history is a man of color, and that's what we refer to. He's not African-American. He's not a black player. He's a man of color. He's a mixed-race guy by the name of Jerome Iginla. My sons are mixed race. So whenever it comes down to race and that kind of stuff, I'm kind of hypersensitive. But you know what? I guess north of the border, we're a little more accepting. And I just wish that cities like Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, and New York City, come on, man, this is not it's not apropos for these times.
I don't think it reflects the New Yorker as a baseball fan or the Philly fan. And thank you so much, Blake, and Calgary. Appreciate all the love from Canada. The show is very well received. No, I I don't think this is a reflection on what Yankee fans want or Flyer fans want. No way. And I haven't listened to WIP or the Fan in New York. And this story is, it's kind of like Moriello earlier was produced. And he says, I haven't heard of this. And it's a busy time right now, NBA, NHL playoffs, right? And we got Tiger last week in the Masters. And the story is just starting to get some steam and you're seeing it more. And I think the teams put out a statement and they just wanted to go away. And hey, we're racially sensitive and it's 2019. Well, then let's go back and look at the Yankees and the Flyers and their racial history. Yeah, let's line that up against Kate Smith's show tunes. Let's go to Scotty in Raleigh, North Carolina. You're on the Saturday Night Huge Show.
Huge, man. Thank you so much for having me on. I'd like to just tell a quick story and then make a statement, if I may, about Kate Smith. First thing I remember, I'm 46 years old. First time I ever remember anything about Kate Smith was when the Islanders were playing the Flyers in a Game 7 matchup. I couldn't tell you the year. It was in the 70s, mid to late 70s, before the Islanders went on their cup run. And it was Game 7 in Philadelphia. And the Flyers brought out Kate Smith for the big song. Crowd gets all fired up. And our captain, Eddie Westfall, number 18, the old broadcaster for the Islanders, I'm sure you know him, skated over to her and handed her a bouquet of flowers. And she sat, she didn't know what to do. She was torn off guard. Like, that's what they did to nullify the power of bringing Kate Smith out. Handed her, and she sat there and sang God Bless America, holding the bouquet of flowers that the captain of the Islanders brought over to her. And nevertheless to say, the Islanders went on to win that game. And it's a legendary story in hockey. And just to show how much power she had when she came out to sing the song, what it did to the crowd, what it did to the Flyers, what it did to the whole mystique of the NHL. She was part of, she was woven into hockey. And the Islanders nullified that by handing her flowers. Like, what are you going to do? She's a lady. You got to treat her with respect. And she sat there and sang the whole song holding those flowers. It's an iconic moment that I don't know how many people, you know, remember, but.
Well, Scotty, thank you for sharing that story in Raleigh, North Carolina. To our other callers online, your huge opinions will be coming up here after the update. If you want to join us live, 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. I'll read tweets here before the top of the hour at Saturday Huge on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Just search Saturday Night Huge Show.
It's the Saturday Night Huge Show. Once again, here's Huge Bill Simonson.
We are back live across North America. We're all about huge opinions, yours and mine, Horowitz and Essig, producing the show back at CBS Sports Radio in New York City. And you know, I love Horowitz, and he has great opinions. And I welcome anybody to have their own opinion. And the question is, why would people be up in arms that the Yankees and the Flyers, they didn't pull God Bless America from their playlist. They just decided not to play Kate Smith's version because of two racially insensitive show tunes and songs that were recorded back in the 30s. And I think where you're at with people, whether it's Horowitz or me having different opinions, is that you look at the 30s, and was it a consistent pattern with her when she went on to help raise $600 million for the war effort and war bonds to help fight Hitler, when she toured with troops all over the world? Was it a consistent pattern? The rush to judgment, and this isn't really a rush because it happened back in the 30s with her. But you had a couple of people complain, not thousands. You had a couple of people complain, and the Yankees and the Flyers decided to remove her rendition of God Bless America from their arenas, ballparks. They covered the statue, which I thought was a little harsh. But also, I get the lyrics, which Horowitz brought up to me, and I read them too, that you look at the 30s, and you ask, okay, it's a show tune. Did she, was that her career? You know, in the 30s, a black man couldn't play in the major leagues. Does it excuse what she did? No. But my point in this entire discussion that has gone around our top five NBA non-winers, and also we'll get to the NFL star of the draft who has the best NFL career and the flop, is that if you have a checkered past and you're baseball, and we start lining up, okay, the horrible lyrics from two show tunes, where, according to reports, there also were black singers who sung them. Doesn't excuse it. But to me, I think a franchise keeping black men from being a part of their organization until 1955 is much more serious to address and discuss than Kate Smith singing songs in the 30s, in my mind. Because when I look at all the different topics we've had, sports and racism and everything that seems to come out of nowhere at times, to me, I look at the actions that hurt people. I look at things that are done that suppress somebody, that cause damage in their life, that takes away the right to earn a livelihood. Is that based on a song? Is it? Is a league or a franchise that didn't bring a black player to the major leagues until Elston Howard in 1955, is that more serious of a crime against racism than Kate Smith? And the hypocrisy is what I pointed out. Do I have an issue that they wanted to change, you know, the smart way by the Yankees and the Flyers would have been to just, we're injecting new singers. We have new stars. It's New York. It's Philly. You can find a lot of people who are going to sing. And you quietly move away. Instead, you try and make it a point in a statement that you are racially sensitive. That creates the angst. Because Horowitz was asking me, why are people up in arms? And I said, I think double standard, hypocrisy. And did singing a couple of songs, not albums, not her entire career, when you Google it, did that define her? And I'll tell you what, I think Major League Baseball is more defined for what they did in denying a black man a chance to play in the major leagues than what Kate Smith did in singing a couple of show tunes. That's my opinion. But I welcome yours. I welcome Horowitz. I think Horowitz has amazing opinions on sports. And this is sports. This is life. This is politics. This is a double standard. This is hypocrisy. And I know you'll say, well, I just like sports. Well, sports and politics have intertwined. And we can go back to Jesse Owens. We can go to Jackie Robinson. We can go to Texas Western, first starting five that were all black against a racist coach like Adolph Rupp. And go through Muhammad Ali. And go to 68 Olympics in Mexico City. You could look at racism in sports, and it's there. Joe Lewis is a caller mentioned earlier. So my point being that if baseball and hockey are going to go back and revisit what Kate Smith did in the 30s, and let's revisit how open and receptive and racially sensitive hockey and baseball were towards people of color. As she was insensitive with those show tunes and the lyrics, I do not condone. I just like to kind of reset where I'm at so you understand where I'm coming from, and I welcome your opinions at 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. Let's go to Dean in Chicago, listening on AM 670 The Score. You're on the Saturday Night Huge Show.
Bill, thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it. I wanted to weigh in on this Kate Smith situation. You know, I honestly don't know, since I wasn't alive back then, what the racial tension in this country was. I'm sure it existed. But the 30s have been over for 80 years. And I think it's time that people toughen up a little bit, because every time one or two people get offended, there's this incredible outcry, and
The problem I see is that corporate officials, as well as government officials, race to prove that they are not part of the problem. And they do some outlandish things like covering statues, whatever. The fact is, every one of us gets offended every day. Personally, the only thing that offends me are people that are easily offended. My background is Irish, Polish, and Scottish. So I've heard all the jokes about dumb Polacks, drunk Irish, and cheap Scotch people. You know what? I retell half of those jokes because they're funny. I'm just so sick and tired of this knee-jerk reaction that every time somebody has a complaint about something, the whole country is supposed to change or get behind it. Let's remember that one woman in Oregon, one person, got prayer taken out of school for the entire country. And like I say, it's getting kind of ridiculous. We have to toughen up. You know, yeah, if somebody, does something that's incredibly offensive, yeah, that is wrong. And there should be a reaction to that. But to criticize a person who 80 years ago recorded a couple of songs that other people had recorded, and, you know, at that time, who knows, they might not even have been that big a deal. But now someone dredges it up, and it's like they're just trying to create controversy.
Well, and I will say this, Dean, and thanks for the call in Chicago, listening on AM 670, The Score. I want to say hello to Mitch Rosen and his team at one of America's great sports radio stations. The lyrics are horrible. I'm not debating that. My point here really is not saying, oh, the lyrics aren't that bad. No. That a Major League Baseball team calling out somebody for being racially insensitive in the 30s when a black man couldn't play on their roster is the ultimate hypocrisy in sports. Let's go to Deb in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on 92.3 FM. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, hi. We're talking about racism and tonight, and racism's quite active in this day.
I ask the question, racism in sports today, not in society. I'm talking in sports today.
Sports and media. There's even an organization, a National Coalition Against Racism in Sports and Media, that just had their annual conference a few weeks ago around opening day. I'm just referring, for example, to the Cleveland baseball team. They finally did get, rid of, take off the field, Little Red Sambo, but it's, you know, the logo, but it's not off the market. And, you know, as far as the team name, it's a whole a race of people, a whole culture. We wouldn't call it, or would we call it, the Cleveland Negroes or the Cleveland Caucasians or the Cleveland Orientals? I don't know how well that would fly these days. And one other fellow was talking about, you know, how it could be funny. Well, you know, injustice isn't very funny. Stereotyping isn't very funny. You can't get a job, and poverty isn't very funny. And there's studies and research have been done by the national different psychology communities that indicate that these kind of stereotypes are harmful. They're very harmful.
Where are the racist hotspots or racism hotspots in sports in America today, Deb, from your viewpoint in Cleveland?
Well, like I say, the Cleveland baseball team, and we also, we don't have the Washington Blackskins, we have the Washington Redskins. And if you know much of the history of where that comes from, how Native people, indigenous people of this continent basically, you kill them and bring in their skin and you get money for it. That's where all that sort of stuff came from. And that's not a very good history. It's not very honorable. And there are folks I've heard that say that, well, calling it the Cleveland Indians is, you know, honoring Native people. Well, let's honor some other races and other cultures. Let's call it the Cleveland Negroes or the Cleveland Orientals, if it's such an honor.
Well, I will say
it's
this.
It's really not an honor. And
okay.
There were over 500 indigenous nations this continent, and not okay to be making mockery of that.
Deb, thank you so much for listening in Cleveland. Couple of things. I've talked to some Native American friends and people I do business with. And I've asked them about the Redskins, about the Indians, about the nicknames. And what they have said to me, which is a message from any tribal council meeting, is that as long as the history of a tribe or Native Americans is portrayed in the right way, they're not hung up on the sports nicknames. They don't want history to be rewritten in a negative light towards Native Americans. They're not caught up in Redskins or Indians or the Hurons or the Chippewas or whatever school nicknames, high school, college, or pro. What I hear from some great tribes and tribal council members and chiefs and people I've talked with, they just want America to respect Native American history. And they can separate a sports nickname doesn't define the culture of Native Americans. And I think that is wonderful thinking. Because you need to step back and you need to understand, and kind of like with this Kate Smith thing, horrible lyrics, but it was the 30s. It was show tunes. It wasn't the life she lived or led until she died. That's how I think you judge somebody. You judge somebody for, is there a pattern of them being a racist? And you have to do that individually. You can't lump somebody together or group them together or say a show tune, because who wrote it? Why was she singing it? She can't defend herself. She's dead. Yet here it is, a story with the Philadelphia Flyers and the New York Yankees. And I think we get productive conversation from it on the Saturday Night Huge Show. 1-855-212-4CBS if you want to join in with your huge opinion. That's 1-855-212-4227 at Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook.